Welcome everyone to the Trimark Happy Hour. I have already lost. No, I'm not. What?
No, I'm waving. I'm saying hello.
I thought you were like signaling me like in some secret way. You're like, no, don't stop it. Stop the presses. We accidentally have a clown on instead. Yeah, Ray's not here yet.
Yeah, where's Ray?
Jeez, nuts. Yo,
I thought it would be good for Halloween. In spirit of Halloween, we should be a little bit, you know, having lost my redacted status recently. I thought I should at least put some kind of an anonymity cloud up there. So, how's everyone doing?
I am great. I am psyched. Yeah, Ray, fantastic. You even dressed up for us, and you didn't have to do that, you know.
Yeah, well, this is a big day. This is a big moment, and we've got about 57 minutes together before I have to actually scoot right out. So.
Yes, sir. So we will get to it.
Let's get cranking.
And if it sneaks up on me for some reason, just because we're having good talks, somebody, even if you're in chat or Jake or somebody, hit me, and we'll just go straight out. So,
okay, I will punch you through the internet, sir.
Please do. I look forward to that. So everybody, I don't even need to do an introduction, I don't think. Like, everyone's here. We've got a nice group of people that love to watch our streams. This is the Trimark Twitch Happy Hour stream every Friday. We like to come on, have guests, and just kind of talk what's in the news, what's on your mind. Trimark is an identity security company. We perform assessments for Active Directory and Entra ID. We also do some consulting, and we've got a product that we're launching that Ray was actually part of last year at ShmooCon for our kind of soft launch there. So Ray Redacted, everybody, or I guess Ray, formerly known as Redacted, is on is our humbled guest today. So we are so happy to have you on. And so we're just going to kind of like jump right into it, I guess. I really want to start with the theme that you wanted, because you had sent me a message that said, hey, if it's not too late, can we put a title on this? And and the title was the nameplate I put on yours that I can't pronounce. It's Latin, so I'm gonna let you pronounce it so I don't mess it up.
What actually matters is it's Utscandus alios subleva, which is the Latin phrase, as you climb, lift others. And this is a very, very important life lesson that my teenage son has taught me pretty much all his life since he was 6 years old. And I should say, by way of introduction, it was also the theme for last year's Diana Initiative. If those of you that are not familiar with the Diana Initiative, it's a nonprofit where we really try to focus on diversifying and amplifying voices that maybe traditionally were not necessarily heard the loudest. And that involves a lot of speakers from different backgrounds than you would hear. So, but the reason that I wanted to title that, it's kind of this subleva, is because it's almost Halloween. And if I look back at the last 12 months, first of all, for those of you that know me, the last 12 months has been utterly insane. It's just been absolutely crazy. I could literally walk you through month by month by month things that normally would just be like mind-boggling. Every month of this year. So I'll go all the way back to ShmooCon. But before I do that, I do need to put a little bit of a disclaimer here. I am I'm a podcast producer. I'm a cybersecurity researcher. I'm a person that tweets a lot. I'm a social activist, and I'm an evangelist for some security concerns. But I don't work for Trimark. I'm a friend of the company, okay? So I don't want anybody thinking, oh my gosh, he's moonlighting. I actually work for a Fortune 40 company, which we don't necessarily disclose. But at night, I'm a security researcher. And if you've probably heard of me before, it's probably from either Darknet Diaries or the Tribe of Hackers podcast going back. But the reason I wanted to talk about As You Climb, Lift Others is because this entire last 12 months has just been an absolute whirlwind. And it really started for me in January, because about a year before then, actually, no, 7 months before January, the June prior, I had decided that I wanted to get healthy. I wanted to lose a bunch of weight. Okay. I wanted to hack my metabolism in order to get healthy, because I was hoping that my teenage son, who was 16 years old at the time, was going to make it into the Olympics. Okay, because he's a climber. He's a speed climber. He actually climbs things very, very fast. And always has his whole life, since he's 3 or 4 years old. One of the most important lessons we always told him was two things. Number one, learn how to figure out how stable something is. So, like, don't climb on the dresser drawer if it's going to topple on you, right?
That's right.
And number two, and this is one of the most important lessons ever in life or anything else, but you got to learn how to fall. Okay, you got to learn how to fall. You got to learn how to fall without breaking bones. You got to learn how to fall without breaking hearts. You got to learn how to fall in your career without destroying your career, right? Because failure is inevitable, right? And it's part of what makes us grow, right? So in January, I entered this ShmooCon Fire Talk contest. And I've been in ShmooCon Fire Talks before. I've submitted some that were good. I've submitted one that was great. Jake Williams and I won 1 year and got free passes. I've done them in groups and stuff. Every year I've been to ShmooCon, I've had a fire talk. But this year, I was doing it on a deeply personal issue about metabolism hacking. And I had lost, I think, 130 pounds at that point in time. There's about Holy 30 shit. Pounds to go. Yeah. So I'd lost about 130 pounds. Hadn't had surgery. Hadn't had Ozempic. Had lost it at the absolute maximum rate I could do so under medical supervision, okay, before, like, the doctors would freak out. Now, I mentioned that I didn't have surgery and I didn't have Ozempica, or I didn't have drugs, right? But that wasn't because I didn't try. I was absolutely trying to do that. I had bet my son that I could lose 100 pounds before he could qualify for the Olympics, okay? And that kind of goes back to a deeply personal story where it wasn't clear if I was going to be alive for the 2028 Olympics. And Sam's sport is one where the average athlete is 27, 28 years old. And he was 16, right? Mm-hmm. And I decided I want to be alive for the 2028 Olympics. I want to be alive for the 2032 Olympics. And I'd also like Sam to, you know, to qualify for Paris, right? And the traditional wisdom was that Americans are really good at bouldering and they're really good at lead, but speed was not their forte. Okay. So January, I submitted this fire talk to ShmooCon and it was a huge hit. Okay. I talk about hacking continuous glucose monitors, these little devices you wear on your arm. Throughout my house, you'll see these numbers right here. That's my glucose level on my left arm, and that's my glucose level on my stomach. So I can actually track blood glucose levels at all times. But I also wear continuous ketone monitors, continuous lactate monitors. I have electrolyte devices. It's all about biohacking and all these other things. And one of the things that was interesting about ShmooCon was I'd never even thought of this before. I thought I was hacking the system to get the mitochondria to be more efficient. But Kim Possible, one of the judges at ShmooCon, pointed out, you know, Ray, in many ways, you're just gamifying losing weight, right? Because I know down to the minute how many grams of fat I'm burning, how many grams of protein I'm burning, how many grams of carbohydrates I'm burning. And I wasn't using AI at the time. I am now. I am using AI for some things to try to avoid skin surgery, because when you lose like 150 pounds, you end up with a whole bunch of skin around your midsection that is kind of loose, and I'm trying to hack that as well. I don't want to get surgery on that because it'll knock me out of working out for a while. But anyway, ShmooCon, and then I'll stop talking. But at ShmooCon, they came to me, and this is a crazy story. I've never told this story publicly before, and I don't know if I should, but I will anyway. They came to me at this event at ShmooCon on the next day, the Saturday afternoon. I'm sitting in this event and somebody that I've looked up to my entire life texts me, sends me a signal message, okay? And his name is Rob Joyce, and he used to run NSA. He was our national cyber director, and he's just absolutely somebody that I've looked up to. I've seen him speak a bunch of times, but we'd never actually met before. And my first question was, how the hell did you get my phone number? But then I remember, if anybody has that, it'd be him. And he said, I'd love to meet you and get a selfie. Would you like to get a selfie? And I said, you know, boom, like one of those cartoons where the rabbit runs so fast, there's like a cloud of smoke. And so I'm meeting Rob Joyce out in that hallway. And one of the judges from ShmooCon comes up to me in front of Rob Joyce, by the way. It's like standing next to this guy that I like idolize and says, we think you had the best Fire Talk, you know, ever. But you've won this before, Ray, and it would be really cool if you could step aside and let a first-time speaker win, because it'll change their entire career trajectory. And I said, not just yes, but hell yes, absolutely, 100%. That's absolutely what I want to do. There's nothing I can think of that would be better than to know you win the award, but to also make sure that you're not the kind of dick that monopolizes those types of things. And then at the closing ceremonies, I was shocked because they actually made me a judge. So I'm actually a judge in the final ShmooCon. And for those of you that have been to Fire Talks before, there's always a really nice judge. It's kind of like American Idol. There's a really nice judge and a middle-of-the-road judge, and then usually someone's pretty snarky. Well, I'm going to be the really nice judge. I'll just warn you right now, if you're submitting to the CFPs for ShmooCon, which is in 2 months and 15 days, because I have a countdown timer for it, that's not when the CFPs do, by the way. The CFPs, I think, do November and December 1st for regular talks and other. But I will be one of the judges on stage, and I will be particularly nice. So that was January. That's my introduction.
It's because you can't be the mean judge, Ray. That's why I'm convinced. Anytime I've ever met or talked to you, there has not been any... You don't have that bone in your body.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that's a good thing for people to say. That's a good thing for people to say.
And I wanted to go back just even before that, because I think the first time I met you in person was at Blue Team Con, and so the previous September. And then when I saw you at Shmoo, it was like, hey, that's Ray. And I was like, no, it's not Ray. I was like, it kind of has Ray's face, but it's not really.
Actually, the talk is only 12 minutes long. Most people are shocked because I write a lot about metabolism hacking, about obesity as a disease, about the things that you can do, including medication and surgery, to regain your health, right? My biggest fear right now in the universe is that 96% of people that lose over 120 pounds gain it all back within 5 years, all of it, right? Sure. And so I'm now kind of on this journey to keep it off, right? To keep it off and also improve cognition, metabolic health, including, you know, a lot of the things that we associate around Alzheimer's is really related. Some people call it type 3 diabetes, actually. And I was fortunate enough not to be either diabetic or pre-diabetic, but I was definitely on that train. I was on that train. It was 333 pounds, the highest level of morbid obesity you could be, taking a ton of prednisone every day, a ton. And if you ever are prescribed prednisone, I'm not a medical doctor, but I find that to be one of the most evil medications you could take in the world, because it makes you depressed. It makes you really hungry. My dog gained weight on prednisone. Okay. I mean, and we're feeding it a fixed menu. So absolutely. It was a good time, but the talk is only 12 minutes long. But if you go to this talk, and it's at redact.link/shmoo24. So redact.link, which is not a malicious URL, Danny, if you're watching. redact.link/shmoo24. It cuts right to the judges, because I'd walked up to them and talked to them, and none of them recognized me. They didn't know who I was, and they were being polite, but none of them said, because the last time they'd seen me, you know, I was over 100 pounds heavier. So that was kind of a trip. But we'd actually met before that, hadn't we, Brandon? I thought we'd met before ShmooCon.
We might have. I don't remember.
Okay.
It's been a couple times.
I thought it was in a green room at a Pancakes Con or something.
Yes,
I thought it was.
That was when we did meet. I forgot. I don't know why I forgot about that. That was our first time meeting, was this virtual back and forth. You were in the lower corner advising me and instead of vice versa now, right? But that was my very first InfoSec talk, was at Pancakes Con 3, I believe. Also,
yeah,
where I met Jake. So I had two fantastic, more than that too, because I got to talk to so many people. I can't even remember and list all of it. But yeah, I mean, that totally changed the trajectory of my career and just the the kindness. I mean, yeah, because I mean, so Jake saw me talk. Jake said, hey, are you like, I'm looking for somebody to come on board at Trimark. And I changed job trajectory, got into security field. And so, and that was what, about 3 years ago now, was kind of when that happened. So.
I will tell you, I've been a part of Pancakes Con 2 out of the 5 years or 4 years or whatever, And it is an absolute blast. I mean, it's absolutely a blast. For those of you that don't know Leslie Carhart, they basically started this conference, and we call it a pop-up conference, but they basically started this conference 2 days after the world locked down for COVID, okay? And they said, you know, it would be interesting if we did a conference where everybody talked about something new, a newbie topic for InfoSec, people that want to get in InfoSec, and then spent the rest of the time talking about a hobby. And specifically at the time, it was hobbies that you could do at home during COVID, right? So it was like, you know, I don't know, breaking bread or you know, think that it wasn't necessarily hacking though. It was like people that were talking about bee raising. What was your second topic, Brandon? What were you talking about?
Mine, I did magic tricks. So I kind of showed how to do some card magic, and I did the trick, and then I kind of showed a little bit about how some of the tricks are done. So I kind of exposed a little bit of magic.
And so what was so shocking about PancakesCon was two things. Number one, I think Leslie was expecting there to be a few people that entered because it's such a fun kind of an idea, but the response was just overwhelming. Like, it was just nuts. Like, they got so many submissions. That was number one. And then number two, I don't remember in the original CFP if they were supposed to connect the two topics. Like, were you supposed to connect RCE exploits with magic tricks, or were you supposed to check adopting puppies with buffer overruns? But some of the speakers actually do that. They actually do connect them and intertwine them. And I'm not 100% sure if that's still in the rules or not, but some of those have been brilliant. Some have been kind of a stretch, right? Talking about Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering doesn't have that much to do with Big Indian coding, but whatever. Let's, you know, and PancakesCon has been a smash hit. Now, I will also tell you the thing that I loved, and in many ways, I'm about to take you on a journey like this too. But when you watch a conference like DEF CON, okay, or when you watch a concert, when you go to your favorite musician concert, the reason that people always love to go backstage is because, you know, all the way back to Plato's time, believe it or not, I'm going to throw an Allegory of the Cave reference in here, okay? But we could talk about Allegory of the Cave all the way to the Matrix movies. Going inside that beast when you've seen it on the other side is fascinating. It's really interesting. And I learned during COVID that the volunteers that put on conferences like Blue Team Con, Circle City Con, DEF CON, the Goons, they do it purely out of love. I mean, it's purely an exercise of love, right? And it can be very stressful. As a matter of fact, on PancakesCon 2, Leslie very, very famously had to interrupt me on a team staff call Zoom, and hey, say, Ray, this isn't fucking RSA. It's a conference about puppies or whatever, right? Because I was so obsessive. I was so obsessive about, we got to hit this time mark. We got to be on time. We got to do this. But anyway, so learning a lot about those things was just fascinating to me, because I always wondered what kind of person volunteers, you know, a relatively thankless job to be backstage and to speaker wrangle. That's what one of the terms I learned from Diana Initiative was. Or just anything. Now, my favorite job by far is being in the green room, giving people a pep talk before they go on stage. That is by far my favorite thing to do, because most people are shocked to learn this, because I've spoken at Black Hat and Gartner's international conferences and DEF CON and just about every conference that's out there. I've at least spoken once because I wanted my company to pay for it. Can we edit that line out? We'll just take that out. Danny will take that out.
Daniel, fix on post, yeah.
It's all good.
But I am petrified before I go on stage at DEF CON. I am petrified, okay? And I had a colleague, I almost said mentor, but I'm really stopping to use that language, mentor and mentee, because it really is a colleague and an associate. But he one time gave me the really, really, really good advice. And what he said was he said, Ray, you're about to go on stage, and your heart monitor says your heart is 132, okay? And your pupils are indicating fight or flight response. You've probably got cortisol and adrenaline and everything else going on. And you're scared to death, right? You're scared to death. But I want you to think about this. Every moment you've ever been to like a Six Flags or a Disney World, right? There's a moment when you're in the roller coaster and you're going chug, 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 chug. And you get right to the top, okay? And you're about to look over this thing, and you know the next 8-9 seconds is going to be just both thrilling, terrifying, fun, you know, all these emotions at once. And what he said was when you're about to go on stage for public speaking, you need to embrace that feeling because you're only going to get 8 or 9 of those in your life. Okay. 8 or 9 of those in your life. You're going to have that moment. It may be when your spouse is about to give birth. It may be when you're about to give your PhD dissertation. It may be when you're about to speak at PancakesCon 3. Okay. But embrace that and really, really embrace that. And I thought that was the most amazing advice I've ever had because people will tell you things like, don't be nervous. They'll say, don't be nervous. Well, shit, if it's that easy, why in the world should I not be nervous, right? But anyway, so yeah, so that was by far my funnest job is being in the green room to encourage people to try to lighten it up a little bit. And I said that that's a secret, but it's a badly kept secret because if you ever get a chance to do a whole lot of crap work, like if you're going to moderate the Discord chat, always ask if you could do like 30 or 45 minutes in the green room, even just to listen to what's going on, you know, before people take the stage. Because what we would find is they wouldn't have shared their slides yet. And so they would be showing them for the very, very first time. And unless there's like an egregious error, okay, unless somebody like has some kind of hate language in a slide, you don't tell them to change anything, okay? That ship has sailed, all right? And you also don't need to apologize for your mistakes. One of the things I really learned in podcasting, and this is actually ties to Jack Reesider in many ways, but we haven't talked about that yet, but is when you're giving a talk like this, okay, and you have 47 points that you want to make across 21 slides in 45 minutes, okay, you're going to forget to say some things, and it's going to drive you crazy. But no one, and I mean no one, is going to know what those things were. No one, not even the person that you did dress rehearsal with. They're not going to notice that, okay? Your adrenaline is going to kick in and you're going to get in that moment and you got to embrace it as your roller coaster seconds.
Oh yeah, there's been plenty of times I've walked over top of myself in speaking where I'll say something to the slide before I like hit the button, right? And then it's like, well, there were two other things to say, but there's no going back now. Like we're just gonna run, right? We just gotta go.
Yeah, I was watching a webcast I did earlier today because I don't know why, but and I remember the beginning of it being terrible, like stumbling over my words and missing points. And I watched it and I was like, what did I don't even remember what I missed. Like it was did the talk and I don't remember the points at this point.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Wild.
And I will say Danny was a DJ. Danny was a radio DJ. Mm-hmm. Okay. And both Danny and Lintel both have got intrinsic entertainment skills that go way beyond like what, I mean, they could easily have careers in Hollywood. I mean, easily. It's just, they happen to also be hackers that are really, really bright people. So for either gluttons of punishment or whatever else, they decided they didn't want to be Tom Cruise. They wanted to be Rando and Lintel. But absolutely, positively, nobody's going to really notice that side. So, but I do want to bring up the thing I said is almost a little bit of a tangent because I tied in the Jack Reesider. I mentioned the Jack Reesider name. So you can obsess over perfectionism as much as you want over every single page in your book, every single comment in your podcast, but I've never known anyone on the planet that is obsessed with the product of his work like Jack Reesider, okay? And I was a huge fan of Darknet Diaries, and I got to crawl inside that beast, right? As a matter of fact, I famously tweeted, imagine being a Chicago Bulls fan, and one day you're watching, you know, Jordan and Pippen, and I think Rodman or whoever at the time, and they just call you over and ask if you want to coach. Okay, hey, would you like to coach this team that's this two-time champion team that's going for their third ring or whatever? And that's what going to work with Jack was like. It was utterly insane. So he put so much time into the accuracy and the veracity of the claims. Now, this is for those of you that aren't familiar with Darknet Diaries, it is the, I believe, the most popular cybercrime podcast in the world, and not by a little, but by a lot, right? It is basically a insider's view of cybercrime. So he kind of goes inside this story, right? But the way he crafts these stories with the music and the narration and the back and forth, that when I got to crawl inside that machine and see, I was just completely blown away because he's obsessed with getting every single thing right. And I actually was scared. The first episode I ever worked on, I was scared to be really blunt about some feedback I had. And my wife was like, no. He hired you to give him that feedback. You need to tell him, you know, point blank. Oh, I didn't realize that, you know, he could easily, for a podcast that's 70 minutes long, he could easily have 200 or 300 takes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's down to that level of the timing and everything else. So when you listen to Darknet Diaries, and by the way, Jack, if you're watching this, I really hope I'm not giving away insider baseball secrets or whatever, but you will notice the production values on that show it will rival like the production values you would see on like Game of Thrones or something, right? Because the narrative arcs, the timing, and the grab you by it kind of a story, right? I think Jack, once it's explained to me, it's sort of like your first kiss, like that excitement and that thrilling kind of thing or whatever right there. And so that was absolutely incredible. That was something that I did for during COVID as well, during that time frame, right? And it was just an absolute mind-boggling experience. And I learned so much. I didn't just learn about the business of podcasting, because he is in the business of podcasting, but also just learned a lot about, you know, the cybercrime and cyber criminals and people that are like that out there. And Jack is very, very careful about his own OPSEC, right? And I most famously said in one of the books about OPSEC that OPSEC is like sex. Everyone thinks they're good at it, but that can't possibly be true because somebody's bad at it somewhere, right? but I was actually naming myself Ray Redacted, not really because I didn't think anyone could ever dox me. I've been doxed several times in my life, going all the way back to when I was 9 years old and someone doxed my homeroom teacher over a bulletin board, Apple II bulletin board. But it was sort of tongue in cheek, right? But then this last year, the reason I'm saying, you know, Lift Others as You Climb, featuring formerly known as Ray Redacted, I started talking about my son publicly, and you can't exactly have a son that 1 billion people watched climb on August 6th, okay? 1 billion with a B, and not disclose your last name, okay? It's just a little bit difficult. I'm sure somebody out there could have done it, but I was basically filmed and shown worldwide wearing a shirt that says Team Sam on it, right? And screaming and yelling at the wall. And I also posted a video that said, this is it from my point of view. Can I show that video? Is that possible? Can I show that here?
We can try to do that.
Okay, let me see. This is the video that actually I think got 8 or 9 million views. I'm going to, okay, make selection. Here we go. And it's going to,
it's gonna be a little messy for a minute, folks, but bear with me.
Let's see. Here we go. I'm gonna come down here to this. It's a view slideshow, I think.
I'm watching.
Okay. Sorry, share slideshow. Here we go. Okay. Now, is that popping up? I can't quite see.
Yeah.
Is it full screen?
I can make it bigger.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's good. No, that's good.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah, you go ahead and make it bigger. Go ahead and make it bigger. This is the frame, the entire frame right here. This is the frame. Can you blow that up? Get us off the bottom, even. Do a bit. You're in OBS, aren't you?
Yeah. Here, I'll.
Okay. So this is what happened on August the 6th of 2024. My son had decided a year and a half ago that it was possible for someone to climb this 15-meter wall in under 5 seconds, okay? And previously, he'd been known as Sub-6 Sam, okay? But he wanted to now be known as Sub-5 Sam. And there were expert kinesiologists, there were assists, and there was a whole lot of climbing experts, so-called experts, that said it's mathematically impossible for someone to climb a reverse inclined, because the wall is 95 degrees backwards. So they're actually climbing up and backwards when they're climbing, okay? And I think you've got us framed. Yeah, there we go. There, you moved it over. Perfect.
Okay.
So what you're going to see is he's going up this 15-meter wall backwards and towards himself, okay? And they had said that this was not possible to do in under 5 seconds. And he had said, my dad told me that everything's impossible until some asshole decides it's not, okay? He didn't actually say that, but that's actually what I did say, okay? It was everything's impossible until somebody decides it's not. And so this is what happened. This is what happened at the Olympics on August 6th. And Sam is on the left.
Ready? Go, Sammy, go! Go, Sammy, go!
I don't know. Did that play?
Yeah, I could hear the audio too. So I think that
you could see the video. Okay, yeah. Good. The video played too. Okay. So that was crazy. And there was really no point in trying to hide who I was at that point in time. But then the crazier thing that happened, and I'm going to tell you this because this is also a big highlight of the entire year, was I got on a plane and left from Paris. But what I'd seen that week was crazy, okay? Because I grew up in the hacker community. I was, you know, on bulletin boards when I was very, very young. And something happened that week that it was really surprising to me because I knew that the hacker community was quote unquote a family, right? But I'd never seen the group come together the way this did. And so I had a tweet post that actually gained 1 million folks. A million folks saw this. And I don't know if this is on your screen or not. Can you see the slide right now?
I just transitioned off of it.
Okay. Oh, your timing. It's so good we rehearse. This is just a rehearsal, right? Okay, we'll fix it before we do the real one.
That's right.
And so 1 million people saw this, okay? And what I wanted to tell the story was this. I'm used to hackers being cynical and even goth, right? And certainly not being wholesome, let's just kumbaya and get along. And I'd never seen a community unite the way I saw this group come together and support my son, okay? I was getting thousands of messages, and they weren't denial of service attacks either. There were thousands of messages from people who were getting up at 3 a.m. to watch this, okay? And I wanted to highlight 5 particular aspects to this story. One of them was, you know, the fact that I got to DEF CON and I went and found Grifter, and I asked Grifter, why in the world did thousands of hackers get up at 3 a.m. to watch my son? Like, what is up with that, okay? And Grifter's answer was, and by the way, I do want this back on the screen. I don't know if you're sharing my screen or not.
All right, I'll get it.
Okay.
I just fixed it, right?
What Grifter said was, because the timing was interesting. He was going to go for the gold medal at 3:37 a.m., okay? And what Grifter said was, he said, Ray, he's our son. He's all of our son, okay? So, of course, we got up at 3 a.m. To watch this. You know, everybody was holding their breath and excited. And so that was experience number one. But then when I got to the Las Vegas Convention Center, and I was there at the Las Vegas Convention Center, I'm walking around this place, and I'm kind of in a jet-lagged kind of, I wouldn't say high, but my feet hadn't touched the ground since my son had won a medal and broken his own world record again and again in Paris. But I'm walking around the Las Vegas Convention Center, and I'm seeing all these signs for my son, like in the actual vendor booths, okay? And most surprisingly, nobody had redirected the QR code to go to Goatsy or any kind of a malicious website, right? Not a single one. And so that just absolutely blew me away, right? Period. And then when I was on the airplane and it was like ridiculously, I was like over Siberia or something, my phone explodes because, you know, again, I grew up going to DEF CON. I think I've been to 23 of them. My son was a question on Hacker Jeopardy. I mean, how fucking cool is that? How fucking cool is that? So they had a question about my son, and I was just blown away by it, okay? And then somebody showed me the recording. They were chanting my son's name. He's chanting Sam, or go sub Sam, or something. It was go Team Sam, go Team Sam, go Team Sam. And so that just blew me away as well. That was absolutely awesome. Then found out that people had basically in LineCon had hijacked or midnight requisitioned a projector and were projecting it on the screens of the hotel. You know, one thing about it being a 5-second video. And, you know, then the one that's really particularly touching is some of the folks that I really, really look up to and idolize had all sent me messages of encouragement. And they all said the same thing. They all said, man, your son, the way he treats his opponents is just classy, right? Not even that he breaks the world records, but the way he acts, the way he conducts himself, the way he shows respect, you know, to the other climbers, and he bows to his opponents and everything else. And that's always been my entire goal in life for Sam, was – And I famously had told him, you'll never be the fastest climber in the world, but you could be the most kind, okay? Well, he did remind me, Dad, you told me I could never be the fastest climber in the world. And he's actually the fastest climber in the world, you know, for at least the next 4 years on the Olympic record side. But he's also the fastest Olympian athlete that's ever lived. There's never been a world record under 5 seconds ever in any sport, in any discipline, in any country for 2,000 years, right? And he'll hold that at least for 4 years until Los Angeles. And it was just absolutely an amazing trip and an amazing journey. And I, of course, because I overshare, vomited all of this out on the table and said, hey, this is all these things. By the way, that's Stoke and Rob Joyce on the bottom right in that photo right there, and a whole bunch of group. But my attitude about DEF CON and my attitude about this community is just so different, because even the trolls were cheering Sam on. Even the trolls were saying, go, Sam, go. Because it was just a really good story. And I think I really am thankful to the community for that. And that was the highlight of my year, basically. So I think I could share this. Actually, you know what? I'm going to share the video again.
Okay,
this
do
is
it
the
again.
Last time, and then I'll turn it off.
Keep playing it. No, I remember.
Here we go. Let's
went away.
Let's see. I go to, I know, I gotta go back to this, and then I got to share. Yeah, share slides. There we go. Okay. So here it goes again. All right, you have it on your screen, right?
Yeah, it's up. I'm not moving it anymore.
Okay.
That's how it's going to stay. I don't trust myself.
You can hear me whispering to him.
I can definitely hear you yelling at him. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ray, but the guy on the right that stalled there, like went for the reach, same thing happened for Sam in one of the qualifying matches.
Correct.
So
correct. Yes, so most people don't understand that this sport, it's 37 or 31 very, very precise movements, and if you miss one movement by 1 millisecond, you're not gonna win. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's that precise and that close. And I one of the questions everyone always asks is first of all, how the hell did your son ever get into this? Okay. And he really, really took an interest in it during COVID, right? He was a climber, he's always been a climber, he's always been a competitive climber. But we knew speed climbing was going to be its own event in LA in 2028. And he decided, if I'm going to do that, why not go for Paris too, as first, right? So he won the bronze medal, which I really, really meant to be able to show that on camera here. I might run and go get that in a second. But he won the bronze medal, but he more importantly broke the world record, okay, which was extremely, you know, his goals last year was to make it to Paris, to win a medal, and to set the world record, okay? And he very famously told a reporter that right before he broke the world record in China. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to win the Olympics. I want to win the world record because someone's going to do it. Why not me? Why not me? He said that to the reporter, and then he just did it. And I encourage everyone to watch that video because I love that video too. But so he left there with that. But most importantly of all, for those of you that know me, it was the experience of the classiness and the sportsmanlike behavior that I'm the most proud of, because I'm really, really proud of my son on that wall. I'm really, really proud of my employees for the things that they do. But in 100 years, no one's going to remember, you know, what report you wrote or what medals you won. Maybe they will, but they'll definitely remember how you treated them, right? People will always remember how you treated them. And with that, I think it might be time for me to take off the tie.
Oh,
maybe in the sixth sports coat. Because we're gonna get loose here for the we're gonna get loose here for the last 20 minutes, but because I do have my Team Sam shirt. I have my Team Sam shirt on. I did
here, I'm switched to this.
I did go undercover. Oh, I think I need to stop sharing my screen.
No, it's okay. I can just get
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Figure this out. I'm a professional. Okay. I'm a professional, Ray. I know
who you are.
Sure you are. Okay, I think I stopped it. I think I did. But anyway, so yeah, I got my Team Sam shirt on. And by the way, if you want a Team Sam shirt, these say Team Sam 24. It's at teamsam24.com. But it's better to get a sign or something like that, or a flag or something, because these shirts are going to seem really dated, you know, in like a year, right? but if you're coming to ShmooCon, and I encourage everyone to come to ShmooCon. Okay, and I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble with the organizers, but I don't work for ShmooCon. Even if you don't get a ticket, the finale, and I will be judging 1 times Elsa, your chance to be at the final ShmooCon. Even ticket, I very much encourage you, go ahead and book your travel now and try. it is very, very hard to get tickets. They sell out in seconds, usually. It will be extremely hard this year, but that shouldn't discourage you from going. The people in the lobby are generous. If you say, if I, for example, I always wanted to see Eva Side, EFF, give a talk, right? And 1 year I didn't have a ticket, and I begged someone to let me borrow their badge so I could go see Eva Side. God, I'm really going to get in trouble with the ShmooCon organizers for saying that. They were so, my response was so grateful that just let me keep that. They just are. And that wasn't Danny, by the way, although it could have been Danny. It sounds like something Danny or Jason would do. Anyway, crazy year building all the way up into, you know, July, August timeframe. It's now October. We're just 75 days away from ShmooCon. And I'm sure Trimark is going to be doing something fancy. If not, we will definitely do something because Trimark has done stuff with Jack Reesider from Darknet Diaries before, typically has some kind of a tools release, and just hanging out and being with people is just, I mean, this is the last one. So I would just say, make sure that you check that out if you can.
Yeah.
That's my whole shtick. That was my show. I think we had some other topics, but that was it. That was the big things. What, do you have any questions, guys?
We got through, I mean, you nailed almost all of it, but yeah, ShmooCon last year was my first time. Maybe my only time. I want to go again this year. I just don't know if I'll be able to make that happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a blast. Everything that Ray says, 100% true. I let somebody borrow my badge. There's a lot of people that will do that for you if you just want to go check it out and walk around for a little bit.
Leonard also, you know, yeah, just LobbyCon is just good enough on its own. So like, just go.
It is.
Just
go. Yep, well, definitely. For sure.
So there are people that are, I don't want to say celebrities or rock stars, because I really am trying to avoid those terms, but well-known security researchers. Like I'm thinking of a Rat of Rob, for example, Rob Graham, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think he ever goes inside. I think he only sits at that bar the whole time, right? He kind of holds court. And I've seen Jeff Mann out there. I've seen Jason Street out there. I've seen April Wright. I mean, it's a good opportunity to get to spend some quiet time with some people that you may have interacted with online, or maybe you just looked up to them all your life. Maybe you looked up to them because, you know, like my relationship with Dave Kennedy was one where it never occurred to me that we were equal peers at all. I always just assumed, oh my God, you're Dave Kennedy. Are you kidding me? But I've actually got a better Cybertruck than Dave. So I in some ways exceeded his goals for that. But yeah, I would just encourage people to go there and do that. And that reminds me of something else I was going to talk about. And that was, I'm no longer using the term mentees or mentors, because three of the people that I consider to be trusted associates, three of them this year have landed really dream jobs in the Fortune 500. Okay. Three of them. One of them is I literally met during COVID, and we talk once every 6 months about career advice and everything else. And so if you troll my X.com timeline or my Twitter timeline, you can figure out who some of these people are. But if you are thinking about becoming what we used to call a mentor or now a guiding associate or something like that, I would encourage you to do that, because it's as good for you as it is for them. I guarantee you it is as rewarding for me as it is for them to see folks, you know, getting published and, you know, landing their dream jobs and things like that. And I think Trimark has a lot to do with that too. I don't know any employees at Trimark that aren't happy. Right. And maybe that's because you kill them or you throw them away or something. Yeah, I don't know.
They're all dead. Yep.
Yeah. Just get rid of them real
fast. But I mean, Danny was reminding me the other day, I think he's been there 3 years. I was like, dude, I thought you'd been there like 3 months, you know, because it still feels so new to me. But I guess time does kind of have a way of sneaking up on you. So
it has.
That's one of the comments on that mentor mentee thing. Like earlier today, I spoke with a friend, Herman, who I met 6 months ago, and he's a junior sysadmin getting into security, and like he wanted to cancel our meeting today. He's like, I haven't done any work to talk to you about, and I don't have any progress to show. And I was like, what do you mean you don't want to talk? And he's like, yeah, I've been busy all week, like streamlining my help desk flow and working with ISPs. And I was like, bro, what do you mean you had no progress? Get the fuck in here, we're gonna talk. And it was so rewarding to just have him like chatting back and forth about the things that he was doing, even if they weren't technically security. It was like, yeah, it just makes me feel better too. And the fact that he got a 50% raise like last month because of his showing his worth is like that's also pretty cool to feel.
Yeah, but by the way, I don't really get involved in people's salary negotiations. I know Marcus Carey, and there's a whole group of people that will help you. Rachel Toback, Kirsten Renner, a whole bunch of people out there will help you get your worth on salaries. I don't really get involved in that because I always feel like I might have to hire you one day. and I don't necessarily want to make you, you know, whatever. But there is an entire group of people at the Career Hacking Village. Or there's a ton of books. Alyssa Miller. Oh, my God. Alyssa Miller wrote the book on the cybersecurity. I think it's called The Cybersecurity Handbook Part 1, I think. If I remember correctly, I remember thinking it really should be named Volume 1 or Part 1 or whatever. For the same reason that Star Wars was named Episode 4, right? When Lucas was originally making it, was he wanted to imply that not only is there things coming after, but there might even be things coming before. I don't know why I've worked in a Star Wars reference here. I don't mean to get in trouble with Disney or anything, but I very much that it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear that people's careers are taking off. It's wonderful to hear this. I see a lot of tweets from people that want to work remote. Okay. And I would actually argue in some cases, working remote may be worth more than a big salary, right? Because your mental health and your coping skills are, you know yourself better than anyone, especially after the last 4 years, right? And your mental health is way more important than the title on your business card or, you know, the letters after your name if you're one of the people that pursues InfoSec certifications, or even the letters after your name if you're one of the people that thinks that you have to have a college degree in order to have a career in InfoSec. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because my thinking on that topic, just like my thinking on ransomware, has evolved significantly. I used to tell people that it didn't matter if you had a certification, if you had, you know, Security Plus, or if you had CEH or MCSE or any of those, right? And it certainly didn't matter if you had a BA or a BS. Because when I was in college, and I was in college for a very, very long time, especially for someone who only got a four-year degree. But when I was in college, there was no cybersecurity discipline, right? And so everyone that I've always worked with in my career, we had liberal arts degrees, EE degrees, you know, aerospace was one person. But I also hire a lot of people with GEDs. I also hire a lot of people with, you know, the School of Hard Knocks. But my thinking has evolved on this topic because I used to tell people that it doesn't matter. And it was one of the Diana initiatives a few years back where one of our speakers, and I'm not going to tell you who she was because I think this might have been told to be in confidence. But what she said was she said, it's really easy for a person of privilege, for a white man to say, we don't need certifications or you don't need degrees, right? But for me to even get a seat at the table, Ray, I have to go above and beyond that. So it's a little insensitive of you to make a broad declaration that certifications are worthless or they don't matter or they're not worth your time because real world experience is, because I can't get real world experience. They won't even give me a chance to take a shot at it, right? And so my thinking has evolved on that topic in many ways. And I got blasted on Twitter for that. Because it's hypocritical, right? But I think you have to be willing to change your views on things. I think you have to be willing to change your viewpoints on topics, you know, that go from whether you should pay ransomware or not. My thinking has evolved on that too. I mean, I used to tell people, no, don't ever pay it. But then I got involved in some IR where there was human life at stake, okay? Mm-hmm. And even if it's not human life at stake, that's a personal decision. So I no longer tell people don't pay ransomware. I now tell them don't pay the full amount they ask. Because you could usually negotiate that down quite a bit. And that was supposed to be funny, guys. By the way, that was supposed to be a joke. So hit the laugh track.
we are awful close to time, and I want to make sure that you get off with plenty of time to jump on your next call, Ray.
Oh, well, so, tell me about the chat. Well, tell me about the chat. Is there any questions in the chat? Were we asking for questions in the chat? I don't even know if we were.
We weren't necessarily asking for questions. There's been people just kind of chatting back and forth and giving like hell yeses and stuff like that for the most part.
I'll be able to see that later. I'll be able to watch that later, right?
So I do want to I want to mention two things before we go. Number one, and we didn't quite get it figured out because it was brought up like literally this morning, but Trimark is going to try to do something for the month of November where we're going to do charity streams. So every happy hour we're going to be asking the guest, or we're going to ask the chat or vote or something like that on charity that we can give toward. So love your feedback on that, because I know that I've seen you post multiple different times about
I'll give you the name of a nonprofit for November, but I want to come back for it. I want to come back and do a half stream or something. Okay. Sure. So I always tell my children, and I always tell my employees, you got to have a criteria for success. For if you're going into a meeting, you got to know what it's going to look like to win. And I convinced myself that if I get invited back, that would be declared. I would declare today to be a win. So I just blatantly blackmailed my way into that. So for those of you that are in the chat, when I come back in November, let's make sure we seed some good questions in there that look like softball, or that look like they're hard questions, but they're actually pre-written by me or by AI.
Got it. Easy.
Love it.
Totally can do that. All right. Ray, middle name redacted. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Where can people find you on? We mentioned Twitter. Or do you LinkedIn? Do you do anything else, or what's the best
way? So you can find me on rayredacted.com. That currently points to my x.com page, I believe. Redact.link is my shortener, my URL shortener. I think it's rayredacted.com takes you to Twitter, and redact.link takes you to whatever the flavor of the day is. Sometimes it's Instagram, sometimes it's whatever else. The reason I use those redirects, by the way, is because I know in my heart of hearts that I need to get off of Twitter. I mean, I know I need to, but I've got like nearly 70,000 followers now. And as kind and nice as I am, vanity kicks your ass when you have like 70,000 followers, because it's like, wow, you know, whatever. So I really know that I probably need to go to Mastodon or even to one of the other alternative sites, but I just haven't been able to dig myself into that. Maybe we'll make that a thing in November, is we'll talk about the social media changes. Cause Tech Brandon, you're still on Twitter too, right?
That's how you reached
out to me this last time.
Yep. I am not up to 70,000, but I did reach over 1,000, and that psyched me up. And yeah, the same sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
On Mastodon, I have like 4 followers, and 2 of them are Jake.
Wait, you're on Mastodon?
Yeah. See?
Oh, I thought you were going to say I have 4 followers, and 2 of them are my own sock puppies.
That's real.
Yeah. Because I said some of my best friends are imaginary friends, but I'm now getting artificial ones as well. So there we go. Okay, well, it was great talking to you guys. You're right. I do need to run, and I will see you in November.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Ray.
Put it on, Ray.
Thank you all.
All right. We will play y'all out.
Play us out, man. Play us out with something cool.
I don't know. My computer is dying right now. I don't know what.
What are you playing? What are you playing?
I have no, I'm not there yet. It hasn't even transitioned yet.